from KALW News in San Francisco. This is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Daly City.
Glenmore in Fremont.
East Bay, El Cerrito.
West Oakland.
Richmond, California.
I live in Oakland, California. How you doing?
Coming up, we'll get in step with Paul Friedman, a musician, an inventor, an educator, and a cyclist.
You know, music is a gift to bring us together, and the beat is something that helps us work together. And then bikes are just such an amazing tool for community as well, because if you're biking along, you can stop and talk to someone.
What can we learn from a rapper who calls himself the Fossil Fool and rides around on a 15-foot wheeled tree?
The most important thing to examine for any individual with regards to your effect on global warming and the atmosphere is your transportation habits.
It's a musical journey of consciousness with the Beat Peddler, today on Cross Currents.
My name is Paul Friedman. My rapping name is Fossil Fool, the bike rapper.
Yo, what do I like? I like to ride on my bike. I zip along the boulevard and down the turnpike. I like the sound of my tires as they hit the blacktop. I disregard the signs if they tell me to stop. I like raising hairs, riding downstairs. Yo, what's this life worth if you ain't got no flair in the saddle?
Paul Friedman is a bike activist, rapper, inventor, and educator. He's on a mission to spread the word of the bike, and he's doing it in some very unconventional ways. I spoke to Paul at Rock the Bike, his bustling and noisy workshop in Berkeley, California. I'm Vanessa Lowe, and you're listening to Beat Peddler.
Fossil Fool is my performance alter ego. It's a rapper. I rap and sing. The essence of Fossil Fool is unabashedly immersed in bikes, the way that other rappers are immersed in car culture. So kind of like singing as if the world were already flipped, as if everyone were already with me. An alternate universe where cars are lame and bikes are cool.
I'm a NAS, no bikes in the yard. No bikes in the yard. No bikes in the yard. There ain't no whole bikes in the yard. And I love it when the cars blow the whistle real loud. I pretend to daydream like my head's in the cloud.
I don't think of Fossil Fool as a superhero. I like making an entrance. I have worn a cape on a couple of occasions, but I don't think of myself as a superhero.
No bikes in the yard.
I had already written a bike rap in college, and I wasn't calling myself Fossil Fool at the time, but I had written a song about biking called No Bikes in the Yard, because there was a rule at my college that said that you couldn't ride your bike through the yard. And so it was sort of a protest, a funny protest song. I was starting to hang out a lot socially with other people who were doing bike work, and just found myself in a few situations, wanted to bust a song, and I guess I felt it was worth choosing a name for myself and going for it. I started performing as Fossil Fool in 2003.
To all the young bike rappers, it's all about how you will. Break it down bite size, make your rap soluble. Down low glow, gonna make the red colorful. Bring it to the street, transform that space magical. Speak from the heart, but the rhyme scheme is logical. Conversation topics shift to the political. Just cause you're white doesn't mean you can't be radical. Speak the truth to make them want to take sabbatical.
I started using a microphone for street performing, thinking about how many people I could entertain, and starting to get some of that sort of direct info from actually trying it.
Let's let the horses out the stables tonight. I want to see dancing on the speakers and the tables tonight. And the storytellers will be writing fables tonight. So don't be sitting home turning on the cable tonight.
A soul cycle is a music system that's customized for a bike, and basically the elements of a soul cycle are they each have some power source, usually batteries for cruising, and they got some number of speakers. Some of them have a dedicated subwoofer or two subwoofers. Soul cycles are bicycle music systems. My performing instruments, the cardboard box. I got myself like a synthesizer drum machine that was capable of being battery powered, and I combined it with a vocal processor. When you buy electronics at Guitar Center, what they typically do is they'll put the electronics in a big old aluminum case. And what I do is I remove the aluminum case and I get to the essence of it, which is usually just a little circuit board. And in the case of the cardboard box, I just glue them all down, connected them with audio cables, and then I can stuff it in my messenger bag. It's something I can carry around with me, the way that a singer-songwriter will just have their guitar with them.
You may think a guy making music out of a paper box on a bicycle is kind of out there, but it gets stranger. The bike is a tree. Paul rides around on El Albor, a 15-foot fiberglass art bike decked out with elaborate sound and lighting systems.
It's a 15-foot tall tree that rolls through the city, and I ride it up on a branch that's about 7 feet tall, so my head is around 9 feet in the air, so I'm actually looking down into the cabs of semi-trucks when I pass them, which is an amazing feeling. The view is spectacular. It's very stable. A lot of people think that it would be difficult to ride. It's very easy to balance. It has a few features that make it possible to ride that tall and still be safe. The most important feature that it has is a system of routes, the route deployment system. It allows me to come to a complete stop. I stomp on this lever that's welded to the head tube of the bike, and these two extra wheels swing out from the rear, and they make the rig about 7 feet wide, and at that point it will not tip over. And so when I'm getting on and off, and when I'm coming to a red light, I will deploy the routes. To my knowledge, there's never been a tall bike that has had deployable landing gear. So this is a real innovation in the field, and it's a pleasure to deploy the routes, and it always brings a smile to people on the rides.
That's simple, huh? It seems like there might be one small problem. Riding a 15-foot tree is bound to attract attention, both positive and negative. Paul has had to hone his diplomacy skills when showcasing El Albor on the roads, as well as when putting on bike-powered music events. He's developed a system for diffusing tense situations that might otherwise bring a premature break to the pedaling.
The first time you busted me, I grit up a mess. I had drifted to the back and I was trying to pass the catch. Up to the ride, you said to touch the side of my Harley bike. Gonna have to ride you up in a second. Time we was passing Dolores Park, you was hanging with the other motorcycle cops. You motioned me to come hither, but I kept playing the withers. Shrug my shoulders, sorry I can't stop now. Heading to a shutdown of BP Arco. Got up on your bike and stopped me by Church and Market. Told me to put my foot down, I don't want to put my foot down. All I gotta do is stamp this lever and I yank my roots out. Officer Wilson, it's a funky quadricycle. I'm riding, so why you fighting me? Why you citing me? This is a law that doesn't apply to me. Yeah, this is a law for the bicycle riders, but I'm a quadricycle rider. Not that I don't got love for bike riders. I'm a bike rider most of the time, but not when I'm up on El Arbol.
I've had a lot of run-ins with authority figures over the years, and I've unfortunately gotten pretty good at dealing with them because it's happened so often that I've had a lot of practice. When an authority figure comes up and stops you, it's important to recognize their authority as soon as possible and to basically do some form of submission. Normally, there's some type of a negotiation possible. There's usually, hopefully, some positive resolution.
That's Paul Friedman, a Berkeley-based rapper, inventor, educator, and cyclist. And this is the radio documentary Beat Peddler, presented by KALW News. You're listening to Cross Currents. Now we'll return to the story of the co-director of the Bicycle Musical Festival with reporter Vanessa Lowe.
So what drives Paul, or Fossil Fool, to be a champion of the bike? What fuels this passion?
Bikes are just a really key way to be independent, mobile, but not be taking too much, you know, not be taking too much steel for yourself, not be taking too much gas for yourself, to be using an amount that's sustainable, that's going to keep us all moving into the future. music and bikes do have in common one really important aspect, which is that they're both amazing community building tools. You know, music is a gift to bring us together, and the beat is something that helps us work together. And then bikes are just such an amazing tool for community as well, because if you're biking along, you can stop and talk to someone. Has this ever happened to you where you're thinking about someone in your life that you haven't seen in a little while, and then maybe a week later on you see them walking on the street? I mean, that's the essence of community, those sort of magic things that happen with either people that you know or don't know. And to truly unlock that in your life, you really need to consider how you are going through the community and whether you have glass and steel protecting you in the form of an automobile. Because if you do, you're blocking off a lot of that potential. If you're riding around on a bike, you can see someone or something that interests you and stop without causing a traffic jam. And you can engage with your community, and you're going to feel the positive benefits of that almost immediately. Those are the types of things that I want people to realize are right there. It's like a bountiful river of positivity that all you have to do is open yourself to. And walking and riding are huge inroads to that.
What is bike culture, and how is it different from the status quo?
I think one of the essence of bike culture is the way that humans move through society and the way that information and news and goodness is passed. Like, through our de facto mass culture, we move through society in cars, and then information is passed through the airwaves in the form of radio and TV, or through the wires in the form of internet. And then through bike culture, we move through the community, and we don't have anything blocking us from the world, because we're moving through the world with the wind in our hair. And when it's time to stop and pass information and goodness to each other, it can happen naturally. I consider myself a bike activist. I want to have an effect of having many people inspired to experience the magic that I've been describing on a daily basis as much as possible. I want to be part of pushing us in that direction. I want lots of people to experience it, and I think it just gets better and better. And, you know, one of the things I've observed is that if you stop a bicyclist on the street that's commuting home and you ask them if they want to see more bikes on the street, they would all say yes. They would all say, of course, yeah, that'd be great. Why wouldn't I want that? That's going to be awesome when that happens. That means that there's going to be better bike lanes. That means that there's going to be more places to stop where I'm going to be surrounded by the people from my community. That means that I can get to the beach safer. That means I can do all these cool things. So they'll all be in favor of it. And then if you ask someone who's stuck in traffic in a car if they want to see more cars in the city, they would almost all say no. Why would they want that?
One of the main ways that Paul delivers this message of bikes and community is through doing presentations at schools, which is how I first met him. He brought a SoulCycle, one of his bike music systems, to my son's elementary school and had a teacher power the sound system while he rapped about biking. The combination of words, music, and hands-on experience clearly made a strong impression on both the kids and adults in the room.
So I want to show attention to kids and have the message behind it be positive so that they get interested in bikes and community. Once in a while, I am invited to be part of a school presentation or an Earth Day event in a school, and it's a real honor to do so. I've also taught songwriting in schools, so basically any chance that I have to be in a school, I try to say yes. I really like to demonstrate pedal power in some form or another, whether it's by making a bike blended smoothie or by pedal powering a song by Fossil Fool.
I should mention that I'm on a mission to take position in your kitchen and to start enriching. The nutrition of the roosters and the chickens at your party got a booster in my pitcher and I wanna pour it. But before we tell that story, I gotta get my five little piggies through the door. Gather my fingers in the fist and the flex at the wrist and make that knock knock sound and then I listen. But inside a squire like the Detroit Pistons after losing to my hometown C's, and I ain't talking about no candies. Yeah, that's right, I'm a East Coast innovator, player, hater, checkmater. Can I get some water from the waiter? Woo, turn up the crossfader, cause I just showed up on your radar screen with my bike blender.
Blended smoothie. I'm mixing up, get out of my bike. I'm mixing back on the bike. Blended smoothie.
And I like to try to do something of a science lesson. So showing kids how it works, why is it that you can pedal and the amplifier turns on?
Or pedal and power a blender that's attached to a bike.
So you can teach all sorts of topics and use the bike blender as a jumping off point. It's just a really ideal way for teaching kids about nutrition, the environment, and also math and physics, because you can teach all sorts of topics with the bike blender, such as gear ratios, friction, angular momentum, and it's very physical, makes great noises. It's better than starting at the chalkboard. One of the things I really like doing in schools is teaching kids how to do inventing and drawing. I wish that people had shown me that at an earlier age.
The inventing and drawing that Paul's talking about happens these days with his cohorts at Rock the Bike. They've designed and marketed rechargeable bike safety lights, equipment to pedal power stages for music events, and yes, that bike-powered blender that makes fruit smoothies.
We're innovating these tools for getting bike culture out into the world in a positive way and getting people to use pedal power and cargo bikes and just to be out in the community and sharing the community spirit and the bike spirit and making it work, making it positive.
Make that thing to help you glow at night. Customize your bike so you can flow at night. I used to work alone, but now I got a crew. It's called Rock the Bike. Here's what we do. Show up at your party and we power it. And if I see an open mic, then I devour it. Because we work hard to get to the point where we can bike hard out to your joint. And then we power.
We like to ride long distances, carry heavy loads. Remember to work the upper body so you don't look like a toad. We do some funky things to get your attention. That only serves to boost our knowledge and retention of the essential facts of our expertise. Think you can match us? Please rock the bike rider.
That's Paul Friedman, a rapper, inventor, educator, and cyclist. You're listening to the radio documentary Beat Peddler by Vanessa Lowe, presented by KALW News. Now let's drop into the Fossil Fool's Berkeley workshop, where he builds human-powered music machines.
Here we are at Rock the Bike headquarters worldwide, Berkeley, California. In some ways, it's too small for us, but it's pretty nice. We've got a few different workspaces, including our electrical station, a mechanical nuts and bolts station with wrenches and riveters and pounders and drill. There's a bike workstation with all the bike-specific tools. There's an assembly area where we make our bike blenders. This is what we call a pedal power utility box. It's a self-contained pedal power activity hub. It's your pedal power system in a toolbox. So you can take it to your gig. And then when you get to the gig, you can open it up. And then you can plug things in. I think the pedal powered stage has the potential to really bring live music in a positive new direction. Your experience of going to live music is often that it's too loud, and it's a lot about excess consumption of power. The mindset that goes into producing a lot of music stages is, we have plenty of power, we're going to use lots of power. And with the pedal-powered stage, I think it has a lot of potential to really create a different type of music experience, one where the audience feels more connected, where they feel like they're part of it, that it's them that's making it happen, that they are supporting the musicians with their leg power. And at the end of an experience like that, I think that the effect of the music is much stronger. They have opened their hearts, literally, by getting their hearts beating by pedaling.
Pedal-powered stages are sound and lighting systems for live music, powered entirely by people pedaling bicycles. The bikes are connected to generators, which in turn send the power to the amplifiers and lights. Rock the Bike sells pedal power systems, and Paul also co-founded the San Francisco Bike Music Festival. I caught up with him at the festival, where despite a few technical difficulties, a good time was being had by all. There was a distinctly collaborative relationship between the bands and the festival goers. There'd be no music without the musicians, but listeners were supplying the power to amplify the music.
We're going to pedal power the stage lighting and hopefully a bunch of other decorative lighting. So.
And those bikes?
Those are going to pedal power the stage.
The scene was very different than other music shows I'd been to. While there were certainly people standing in front of the stage, watching and listening, there was a whole other group of people at the bank of bicycles. Strangers working together to make something fun happen.
So what are you supposed to do?
You're supposed to pedal.
Until what?
So that it's a solid blue.
Instead of a...
blinking red. Or an alternating blue and red. It also means pedal faster.
Oh, so you see that?
Well, at the Bicycle Music Festival, I'm the co-director. It's like the event that gives us a chance to showcase all of our best music and the best incarnation of our pedal-powered stage. We really try our best to bring the community in and empower them. We pedal power bands all day long, and it's all powered by bikes.
If Paul has his way, there'll be bike music festivals all over the world. In fact, the phenomenon is already starting to spread.
The Bicycle Music Festival has now spread to, I believe, 3 continents. There's definitely bicycle music festivals happening this summer in Europe, North America, and I believe there might be the first one this year in Australia. But yeah, it's growing. We get really cool inquiries from around the world.
While Paul travels around the globe to help bring bike-powered events to far-flung locations, he's aware of the discrepancy between his goals of spreading bike culture and the means of doing that.
My name is Fossil Fool. There's a foolish aspect to it where sometimes I find myself using fossil fuels in order to achieve the task of spreading bike culture. Like, we flew to New York last week. Not only did we fly to New York, but we shipped a ton of gear, literally 1 ton, from the West Coast to the East Coast to be able to build pedal-powered stage there. So there's questions that come up like this all the time that we have to answer. So it's a balance. I read recently a statement by the Union of Concerned Scientists, and it said that the most important thing to examine for any individual with regards to your effect on global warming and the atmosphere is your transportation habits. So that means how often you fly and how often you drive and how often you walk and how often you bike.
When I decided to interview Fossil Fool, I thought this would be a story about how bikes can save the planet, but it's not. For Paul Friedman, it all comes down to building community and saving the planet, in that order. And maybe you can't really have one without the other.
Actually, I feel that in terms of what gets me up in the morning these days, it's really not global warming. I really don't wake up and say, we really got to act on this global warming thing right now. I've kind of internalized that, and what gets me up in the morning right now is making communities feel proud to be together. So the environmental aspect of it is a subtle backdrop to that. How it's really felt is if all those people get the fire and they want to make their life more about community magic and they want to be on their street, on their stoop, riding their bike, that's when our impact can be truly felt. And then if the model spreads and people in other parts of the country and of other parts of the world want to do more pedal-powered events, and if the effect of those events is to inspire more people to ride and to want to celebrate what's happening with their local community, that's when the impact can be noticeable. Those are the types of choices that actually make a big difference.
You've been listening to Beat Peddler. I'm Vanessa Lowe for Knitwise Media. Special thanks to Antonio Ortiz, Kent Sparling, Claire Schoen, and KPFA. All music in this piece was by Fossil Fool. You can find more music and information at fossilfool.com.
Public transportation, moving my body from station to station, moving it on the ground. Public transportation, moving my body from station to station.
And that's all for today's Cross Currents from KALW News. Our team includes engineers Chris Hoff and Seth Samuel, producers Julie Kane, Audrey Dilling, Erica Moo, and editors Martina Castro, Casey Miner, and Ben Trefney. Also thanks to City Carshare, which provides an alternative transportation option for our reporters when they don't bike. City Carshare is online at citycarshare.org. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.